יש לנו שיעור, אצלנו זה שיפור, ללמוד ולפתוח את הלב ואת המוח. שיעור שכולו שמחה, עם משחקים, תיאטרון ושירה, והמורה שלנו מגלה רק לנו מה זאת אהבה.
So today's topic is, well, first of all, hello. I can't hear you. Hello, excellent. So we are at our lesson, and what's our topic? Equivalence of form, similarity of form. Okay, so first I'm going to ask you questions, and then you're going to ask me questions. So now today we're asking about the equivalence of form. What is a form?
No, Ken.
Yes, quickly. This is not okay. She's not going to be able to be quick. The form of the upper law. This is not understood. Where are the microphones? What's happening? It's so that us and the Creator, that we're equal in form, so that He will give, bestow, and we will bestow as well. Excellent. So just like a form, it's just like I have a face, I have to look for someone who also has the same face. Yes.
No, lakum.
Get up. Who put their hand up? It doesn't matter. The form is of the one that you want to connect with. Okay, but what does it mean that he has the same form that I do at the back? It is an equivalence, equality in the qualities. But you guys have to wait a little longer until the camera can catch you. It's equivalence in the intention. Okay, excellent. More. Equivalence in desires. In the goal, okay. What about over here? Only the tiny boy? You want to answer? Equality in the group. Okay, that's great. At the back, the equivalence has to be in the internality, not externality. What do you mean by internality? Who knows? It is the equivalence on the levels, in the desire to bestow. Okay, that's called internality. What else? The equivalence in intentions. That's called internality. Okay, more. In spirituality. And more. The equivalence in the desires. So you have to wait a little longer. And at the back. The equivalence in bestowing and giving. Okay, and you? Equivalence in goal. Okay. So let's summarize things. So being equal, it's not that I have a face or maybe clothes or something else that I'm similar, but I'm like someone else. It is an equivalence that we're talking about in the Wisdom Kabbalah. It's an equivalent according to a goal. The goal is the most important thing. Let's say there are lots of different people here. I'm sorry that I can't draw nicer than this. There's a girl and a boy, and this is a boy as well. He has these ears, and you can see him. This is a girl wearing a dress. Okay. And so in the Wisdom of Kabbalah, what do we say? That they're equivalent, that they're equal in their goal. that the goal is the same for everyone. And then what? Then, according to this goal, they are equal. Is that right? That in according to this goal, in regards to this goal, they're equal. We can have lots of different people. What kind of differences are there between people? There are differences in colors. There are red people, white, yellow, and black. Red, yellow, white, and black. Someone says brown. No. These are four types. There go against the four prinot of direct light. Red, black, white, and yellow. That's race, and then we have a gender, we have female or male. And then what are the differences we have between people? Smart and stupid. Come on, quickly. You're supposed to sit in the very middle. Tall and short. Okay. Yell it out. Fat and skinny. Young and old. Beautiful and ugly. Rich and poor. Good and evil. Stupid and smart, someone who wears glasses and no glasses, lazy and one who puts effort into things. More. What other differences do we have? Scream them out. I can't hear anything. Organized and messy. Ashkenazi and Sephardic. Red-headed or black-headed or pink or all kinds of colors. Okay. So there are lots, hundreds and thousands of different characters that we talked about. But if we look at our big group around all of the different cities, and children are watching us right now from there, there are lots of different children there. And we say that still we are equivalent in our form. So how do we relate? How do we treat everyone? That we get rid of all the differences. We don't care about anything that separates us, right? Yes. There's a sentence that says, "Don't look on, don't judge the book by its cover, or don't look on the jug, but what's inside of it." Rav says it could be a jug from glass or from paper or from steel, but that means that we are judging others based on our internality. You wanna summarize it? Don't look on the externality, whether a person is fat or ugly or beautiful, but look at his qualities. But there are lots of qualities that people have. Which quality do I look at? Good qualities. Yehi? I look at the point in the heart. Wow! Can you add? His good quality, not that he's bugging me all the time, he doesn't help me, he's bad, but that, for example, he comes home, he does good things, so don't look at the things that he is doing on the outside, look at the things that he is really doing. That's true, but in our group, we choose people not only according to whether he is good or bad. That happens in other groups. Moshe.
Yes.
We look at the goal. If someone has the goal to attain the Creator, then I'm his friend. If he doesn't, then I'm not his friend. There's also another sentence that says that one judges upon what his eyes can see. That's right. It means that if I consider these people, if I check them, according to what is important to me in life. That's how I relate to them. Whether he is good or evil, whether he is attracted to something, if it's good or bad, and how I only look at the most important thing. And that's what's important for me. And that's how I test people. And that's what it means that I judge according to my own eyes. That's how I classify people. I take everything that a person is, I clarify it, filter it out, I get rid of everything that I don't need, and then he stays with what I need, what is important, is it bluntly shown in him, and then this is how people connect in different people. They collect stamps, for example, they play different games, or they watch or read different things. So we say that we choose people who have the same goal. Why is it so important for us to have the same goal? Not just to have a boy or a girl who are good, like someone tried to tell us. Why is it important for us that other child has that we have exactly the same goal? Why? So that we can unite. Oh, he said something else. He says that equivalence, that we have to look for equivalence of form so we can unite, connect. So it's not that I am going towards the same goal as he is. It is that for us to go towards the same goal, we have to unite. Let's say we unite. And these kids have a completely different goal. Some goal, for example, that he likes movies, and she likes dolls, let's say. Okay? Then it's not the same goal. And we see that it's not the same goal, and for him it's not the same goal, but for us we have the same goal. And then we create a group. Which means that when we find children, people who have the same goal, it's very important for us because this is how we build a group. And without the group, no one can reach the goal. And this is why it's so important for us. It doesn't matter what kind of hair or ears he has, what kind of color he is, or even what his character is. Maybe he's not such a good person, but we have the same goal. And I understand that eventually we will unite. And there's a saying that says that love will cover all sins. That the future love has to be so big for me right now so I can unite with him. We unite together, even if we see that, you know, some of our friends are more prettier or better, but if they don't have the same goal as I do, then I'm not going to unite with them, and I would rather unite with the children that can be with me in the same group, okay? Bala Sulam says that there is internality and there is externality. And he says that the internality is closer to the Creator, and the externality is always here for the rest of the world. And the internality is for the Creator. So we have to always prefer internality upon externality. And according to that, check every single person to be closer to him or her or further away. This is what it means to check someone according to the equivalence of form, okay? Now I have another question for you. How do we measure in equivalence if someone is closer or farther away from me? We feel it. We feel it. We feel it according to what? I feel that I'm more further away from the camera. I feel that I'm 10 meters away from this camera and 1 meter away from this meter, this camera. So I measure it with my eye. How do I feel? And from you, let's say I am 5 meters away from you. And let's say I am 2 meters away from Judith. So how do I measure our equivalence of form? Yes, at the back. According to our level of unity. But first of all, the unity has to be in something special, something specific, right? Maybe we both love checkmate or something else, and then we measure how close we are according to that. Maybe I'm ready to play this game day and night, and he's ready to play it maybe an hour. First of all, we have to love each other and create a love of friends. And okay, who can add? We both have to be thinking about the goal. Yes. It doesn't matter what the distance is. What's important is that we are connected and feel each other. Excellent. So we're not talking about physical distance here. But what we're talking about is a spiritual distance. Is that right? Yes, that's it. That even though we are far away from each other, we are still thinking about the same thing. We are feeling the same thing, and we care about the same thing. Is that right? Yes, excellent. That's what's important for us. So how do we measure these spiritual differences, distances? Let's say the distance is according to 5 meters or 10 meters or according to time. It's next week. How do I measure the distance according to feeling? Let's say I love you more than I love him. How can I check this? According to what numbers? Let's say I can measure something. I measure you, that you weighed, for me, you weighed 50 kilograms of love or something like that. Or he is important for me. His worth is 10 kilograms for me or something like that. How is it? What can I use? Which tool to measure this? We can use the point and the heart. And by developing the point and the heart, we develop something that's called the sixth sense. And through the sixth sense, we can feel our friends more. Okay, and what do other children think? Through the group. In the group, yeah, it's very important. I check in the group. Okay, how about you? I think that it's only from what you are assuming, because everyone is equal, but you can assume, for example, you are a big rock for me, and I appreciate you, but there is someone who is just nothing in my class, and I don't like him. So it's according to what's important for you. Every person judges according to his own personal interest and what's important for him and where he's going. Okay, more girls, maybe? No, boys. There's a new boy from the heart, because if you're paying attention that someone is helping you or you're talking to him, maybe you have something joint with them, the unity or the intention, that's right, but that's still not a tool, a mechanism, according to the spiritual law of equivalence of form. But how do I check how much is he alike with me? According to the soul. According to the soul. But how do I check it? The soul is a vessel, it's desire. I think that if we have a similar situation, a similar situation, okay, more. According to the level of adhesion. But how do I check the level of adhesion? What opportunity do I have to measure to what extent a person is close to me according to the goal or far away from me according to the goal? Because without this, I can't check. According to the equivalence of your desires. But how do I see this? I can't just open you up and look inside. Oh, look at the desires that he has. This desire is okay, and this one is not. How will I know? Michael. Oh, Yechi. From the surrounding light. Oh, Miki. I can't see the surrounding light. I don't know. You feel it. He's doing the same things as you do. He feels these things. Look, she's jumping. According to the unity between them. According to the unity between us is true, but if I'm saying that according to the unity between us, in relation to the goal, we have to check if he talks about it at all, if he wants it or not. But how will I know? I really want to measure him. If he talks about it a lot and he really wants it and likes it and is interested. But where do we see this? Here. Tell me a few more words. In the wisdom of Kabbalah? No. Over there. Until you give me this word, we're not moving on. You don't want to say anything? No. Give the microphone to Judith and... Who? What? Someone new. And your attitude towards him, the way he treats you, you appreciate him more. But that's just egoistic. But that's the way we are. We're still in our ego. No. We think whether he gives me something or not. That's exactly the problem. That's exactly what I don't want. Pass the microphone. I want, although I'm an egoist, I want to measure mine and his attitude towards the goal. We see if he has the point in the heart. But how? The girl behind you, I think that it's called not understood. Okay, that's not enough for us. In the feeling. Okay, Yechi. With the Creator? No. To see how he is treating his friends. Wow, finally. Excellent. Last time he didn't answer correctly. Now he's okay. So we can check another person. If I want to check upon him, Not with my glasses. Maybe something is not right with my glasses. Or maybe I don't like his nose or your hair or something like that, right? Or your dress or something. And he doesn't look too good to me. No. How do I check his internality? That I'm really, truly not looking on the externality. How can I not look at the externality? I'm always corrupted according to all these different qualities of the person. So I have to close my eyes on everything and see how is he acting in the group. I have to listen and see what is he doing. Is he uniting with others in the group? Is he does he want to participate with anyone? Does he love everyone? Does he always want to be with them? And that's how I measure that the goal is important for him. And then we can see that, you know, some kids, the goal is not so important for them, and they unite with each other. And the kids where the goal is important for them, they also unite into a group. And where the goal is really important, they also unite into a group. And that's how we see according to different groups. And that's how I check myself. I look at myself and see which group is more important for me, which group is more suitable for me. If I'm lazy and I don't really want to reach the goal, then I'm uniting with the lazy ones. And if I do want to reach the goal, then I'm connecting and uniting with the strong children. Okay, now tell us. Where else do we see this law? Wait. We have a drawing from David, who's 6 years old from Boston. We want to see it. No, this is my drawing. I see even the ears that I created. Where? Oh, here we go. That's better than my drawing. What a cool kid he drew, and he has a heart in his stomach, and he has the point in the heart, and at the bottom it says ego, and then at the top it says bestowal, and then we have numbers from 1 to 8, 9, and the 10th one, yeah, he is right. Altogether we have 10 sferot and 125 levels. How old is he? He's 6 from Boston. From Boston. Oh. Nice. Okay, so now I have a question. Where else do we see the law of equivalence of form? Because it's a law. Where do we see it in nature? Do you know? Yes. In a group, for example, a group of animals who are divided according to their form, their groups, for example, monkeys and lions. Yes, in animals, they have this unity according to how they feel, this equivalence of form. With the lions, they actually hunt for the weak animals. For example, when there's a group of wolves in Africa, so they get divided. 5 go to one side, 5 go to another side, and 5 go after her. But I don't really see equivalence here. It's not. Equivalence is not when one hunts for the other. I'm talking about unity and coming close to each other. Where do we see that? When they bestow, when they give. What about it? Yes. Where in nature do we see the law of equivalence of form? When a mother, a lion for example, gives birth to a baby, then she takes care of her baby and gives him everything until he grows and he can grow up and hunt. So it's as if she gives him... Okay, you know, I have this weird word that is written here that says homeostasis. Do you know what that is? What is it? It is something I studied this, and there was an explanation, but I forgot. You forgot, so why are you taking the microphone? We don't need your stories, we want facts. It's a similar situation, condition. And where do we have this? In nature, within our bodies. Pass the microphone to the very back. For example, the penguins. Doesn't matter if one is big or small or weak or stronger, when they have to warm up, then they do it together. They move together as a pack. They don't care who is the leader, who is weaker. It doesn't matter for them. Okay, let me tell you. This law is the most important law in reality. It determines everything. Maybe she knows. The cells in our body take only what they need, and if they take something that's a little more for themselves, then the entire body ruins. Excellent. She is already giving us the law for unity. How this law is working, how all the laws of nature have to come together. We say that in the final correction, the Gman Tikkun, that the sheep will live with the wolf, and they will be led by a small child, and they will all live in peace. How? What? According to equivalence of form, where we have everything, lots of the still and vegetative and speak and animate and speaking, all of them will use each other, but use each other only according to their needs, just as much as they need. And the rest, all the desires and all the intentions will be for unity. But I also have to drink and rest, and I have to do all these things, and I should be cared. My health has to be taken care of, and I have to give things, and I have to be brought things. So we give each other things that are only the necessity, and the rest go towards the goal. And this is called the law of unity, and this is how it is in the group as well, that everything is given towards the goal. And the necessity is at the bottom here. But according to the law of equivalence of form, we also feel the world like that. Let's say, for example, what do we hear? What kind of law do we have here? You don't know? You didn't study physics? No, none of you studied physics. That's also the equivalence of form. According to this, I feel, here, for example, I'm holding something up. It's also according to the law of equivalence of form, because I am pushing on this pencil, and the pencil is pushing back at me, and this is when I feel it, exactly at this point where I'm pressing on it and it's pushing back. My ear, for example, here are my fingers, and here is the pencil. That's it. Or the ear. So I have an ear, and inside the ear I have a drum, an eardrum, and then a wave, someone's voice, let's say, reaches the eardrum, and this drum pushes backwards. It doesn't want this wave to push on it, and then it measures how much do I have to push. So they're also in the equivalence of form. They're equal. And here, this pressure, my pressure on the pencil and the pressure of the pencil on me is equal as well. Where we, for example, I am lying in bed. Let's say I'm sick. I have fever. I have high fever. How high? 39. 40. No, 40 is not a good temperature. Let's say 39 Celsius. But so what does it mean that I don't feel good? And when do I feel good? And I'm happy when I have which fever? Which temperature? 36.6, or let's say 0.6 Celsius. Why? What's the difference? Because I am in lack of balance according in relation to the environment. We are always measuring balance. When is there wind? In the winter, and there's no wind in the summer. So what is wind? When there is pressure, air pressure, and here there is a place where there isn't air pressure. And this is why there is movement, until these two pressures are equalized. When do we feel good? In what society? When they're not pushing on me and I'm not pushing on them, right? You all know what it means when your mom is pressuring you, right? When she's screaming, there's pressure and punishment and panic. So what should we do so that your mom won't pressure you? Do you know? Do what she is asking. That's right. Be in equivalence of form with her. See? Do you see where this law works? In every single thing. There is nothing but this law of balance. But how do we study? What do we learn in the wisdom of Kabbalah? How can there be balance between the desire to receive and the light, which is the desire to bestow? They're completely opposite to each other, right? So how can we have a law between them? Yes. Who wanted to say something to me? Someone new? Girls, maybe? How can there be a balance between the desire to receive and the desire to bestow? Yes, at the back end, for now you answer. When they reach a state of agreement. When we receive with the intention to bestow. That's right, that's it. Why? What does Bala Sulam tell us? That because the reception with the intention to bestow is pure bestowal. Remember this sentence. I want to receive. And this is my huge desire, but if I reject, let's say pleasure comes to me, and I reject it, refuse it, and then I make a calculation of how much can I receive for the owner of this light, and if I receive, I do him a favor. I receive some light and fill myself up. This is called that. It means that I'm receiving, but I'm receiving with the intention to bestow. And then, in this part where I'm receiving, I am bestowing. And here I'm in bestowal. And this is how I can check myself. I can measure myself. So here I am in equivalence of form. Where is the place where I equalize my form? It's called the screen. That's right. Very nice. So I always have something that's pressuring me, something that I want, and something that I place between us. And then the thing that I place between us, I always measure how I can be in balance, in equivalence of form with the screen, with this partition. So the screen is working to create the equivalence of form. And with it, I equalize my form. Just like the eardrum that's not letting this pressure, this wave of voice that comes into my ear. You know, just like your mother, where when she's pressuring you, you reject it. You push back. No, you don't, really. I remember that my mom used to pressure me very much. Okay, even now I'm scared of her. I'm telling you. When she's telling me something, when she tells me something, I always have to equalize my form with her. And, yes, we have a question from Sean from Khadera. He is asking, if someone has given me a gift and I take it, then how am I in equivalence of form with him if he's given something to me and I'm receiving it? That's exactly the example that Bala Sulam gives us, that there's a landlord who prepares a big, nice table that has lots of food on it, and here the landlord is standing, and here the tiny guest, skinny little guest is standing, and the landlord prepared lots of food for him. How much food? 5. They are called Keter, Chochma, Bina, Zerampin, and Malchut. 5 meals. Or lights, what are they called? Naranchai, Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, Ve, and Yechida. Oh, this, the landlord, the creator created for us. But never mind, let's say he made falafel for us and pizza. Oh, whoa, whoa. You have more food here. Look at what you're demanding from the landlord. So how do we make a calculation with the landlord where I don't feel shame? What do we mean by shame? Shame is when I feel that he is more than me. Then the result of this is a feeling of shame. What I do not to feel shame? I know that by eating I will give him pleasure. That means that if I do an internal calculation and think that I am doing this for him, using with an intention, through an intention to bestow, to bestow to him, then I came to a situation where I'm bestowing to him just like he bestows to me, and then I'm not ashamed, and then we have an equivalence of form, a balance between ourselves. Just the way he wanted to give me, I want to give to him. Is that understood? Excellent. So, from the beginning, the creation, all of creations, from the beginning, is pulled towards a balance, to equivalence with the Creator. And this is why all of our laws and rules and chemistry and physics and all of our actions on the inside and outside, the connection between us, it all comes from one law. The law of equivalence of form. Excellent. Wow, we didn't even start talking about it. It's such a huge thing. Even the 125 levels that we ascend, that we climb, these are levels of equivalence of form as well, where I'm equaling myself to the Creator. One of 125, 225. And where I'm equal at each level. And this is how we climb upwards. We'll still talk about it, but next time we have to talk about Passover. Okay, so all the questions about Passover, bring, look over the Passover legends, all the rules, we have to prepare them, and we'll talk about it. Questions? We don't have time for questions today. I'm really sorry. So, write down in your notebooks, Pesach, the legend of Passover. Why did the Israelites go into Egypt? How long did the exile into Egypt last? What were the names of everyone? Pharaoh's daughter, Pharaoh himself, Moses' his brother, the two Jews, the two Egyptians, the one that put Moses in jail, the wife that's there, all these people. Where did the Israelites live? Where did Moses run away to? Who did he marry? This entire story. First of all, know the story itself, okay? First, we'll talk about the story. Which cities did they build? Where did they live? Okay, everything. And now, song.
אצלנו זה שיפור ללמוד ולפתוח את הלב